Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Owl's Nest, bringing you your bird's eye view of the Overwatch League and everything that's going on in it. What'd you think, Jake? Did you like that one? I've been workshopping that for a few weeks now.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like the bird's eye view. It's cute.
We're going to start by talking about some of the takeaways that we had from last week at Philadelphia's homestand. We have a little bit of a different second segment for you, where we're going to have our own fantasy draft that has a little bit of a flair to it. And then we're going to end, as we always do, previewing what's coming up this weekend at Washington's homestand. So, to start, what I think was probably the biggest surprise of last weekend and also my biggest disappointment, I want to talk a little bit about that Florida and Houston game. So, Jake, the first thing that I have to ask you, and I know I asked you this last week, and you kind of gave, talked about how, you know, Florida, even if they're any good, they'll probably be in the middle somewhere. But the question I have is Florida actually any good based on what we saw? I mean, they did go up against the Houston Outlaws, who were not in very good form. But between Saya player and Yaki's Widowmaker and May play and the... In my opinion, the tremendous plays that we saw from McGravy and all of those ults that he ate, I don't know. What should Florida fans be expecting based on what we saw last week?
Well, I mean, I think they have a lot to look forward to. I think especially I would note also BQB on the DPS. BQB looked even better on the McCree than Saya. Saya obviously always looks good on a Widow, but it was good to see like that DPS diversity coming into play and everyone working well. And then as well, the pickups with Gargoyle and Karayan really playing well, especially Gargoyle. I definitely want to shout him out as really looking solid on D.Va, which is something that every top team is just going to need a top D.Va the way this patch is looking. So I think they absolutely do have potential. I mean, maybe this has been, they've had some of the pieces of this puzzle, but maybe in picking up Gargoyle in particular, maybe they kind of patched a hole that they've been missing for a while.
So, I mean, do you see them... If you were to give way too early predictions, are we looking at, you know, maybe play-ins? Could we see them start to move into the upper echelon? Because we've seen in the past teams that haven't had the best records, you know, come out of nowhere and kind of make really wholesale changes, whether that was stuff that they've made with the team or, you know, the meta just happened to sort of fall in their favor. You know, I'm thinking Shanghai having their amazing Stage 3 last year, the Washington Justice coming alive in Stage 4, and now also continuing that trend into this season. I mean, how far could the Florida Mayhem go with this roster when we look at what some of the other teams that are sitting at the top look like?
I think there's no... I wouldn't really put an upper limit on them, but I would probably just predict somewhere around play-ins, you know, fighting for play-ins, fighting for that lower end of this playoff spot. I mean, there's... You know, I don't know. I don't think they're really... Especially looking like how they were up against the Fusion, it doesn't seem like they're ready to go up against that top echelon quite yet and really stand toe-to-toe. But I definitely could see them, especially against those mid-table teams, you know, coming out on top, earning themselves a place in play-ins. I think that's where their head should be at. I mean, obviously their head should be at winning every game, but I think, like, if you're a fan, you could see them going that way and actually having some impact in the postseason. And even that, I think, is a great achievement if you're Florida, right? Like, this has been, overall, the worst team in the Overwatch League for the first two seasons. I think that's... Maybe there's some contention there, but it's pretty clear for me that they've had like the worst results consistently. You know, other teams have had highs and lows, but they've had the worst consistent results. So to be able to, you know, get plans, it's a big deal for their fans and for the community. So I think that's nothing to shake a stick at, and I think they could do just fine in the upper mid-table.
Well, when we talk about highs and lows, a team that's been suffering quite a few of those lows, obviously not just this season, but even near the end of last season, the Houston Outlaws, your old stomping ground. You know, all right, so obviously on social media, you know, the team was talking that a lot of them were under the weather. You know, they were suffering from flu or some sort of illness. So that obviously does play a role in your performance with, you know, being up on stage there. You know, your mental acuity and your focus has to be at an all-time high. But how much of what we saw could really be attributed to that?
Well, I mean, I think people underestimate how much impact it can have to be sick in a game like Overwatch. You know, it's one thing for like one player or two players, but if a lot of players start getting sick at the same time, the comms start to slow down, everybody starts to be mentally slower, and this is just not a game where that's acceptable. I mean, like, if you're a little bit slower, that results in you losing a lot of fights, and it's not just the details, but really those details start to snowball, and there's so much snowball potential in Overwatch that... you know, a couple fights lost because your reaction time isn't as good leads to fights that are just unwinnable no matter how well you're playing. So Even if you kind of wake up at moments and start playing well, it might just be too little too late. And I think from Houston, we also saw some really poor strategic decisions, like the Lucio Brig comp. I think there's potential to that comp, like running into mid on control points and trying to, you know, swarm the enemy down and get value off of rally really fast. But I think it does not work long term, especially against what Florida was running with the Brig Ana. It's pretty much a hard counter. I mean, they don't need the Lucio to enable their team because they're just going to sit back and wait for you, and they've got a bionade and you just don't. So Brig really, really suffers against that bionade, and you know, it's like kind of 100% on your D.Va and your Rein to block that. But if it does slip through, and Gangnam Jin, of course, did a great job slipping those through, and then you're really just like, why am I playing this comp? You know, you're getting no value off your healers. So I was really worried about that strategically from Houston. I feel like they should have adjusted that before the end of the match, but it felt like it took a full, you know, 3-0 beatdown for them to actually realize it's not a good comp. Which that was pretty worrisome. So for the coaching staff, I think they've got to reevaluate. And also, I think I would hope that the players would just be more adaptable than that, right? Like, even if you come into the match and your coaching staff has told you, this is the comp, you guys got to play this comp. You know, maybe that is part of the sickness. You're not really thinking clearly. But when it starts to really not work, you know, a few times in a row, it's just like somebody's got to realize, hey, like, let's switch this up. Hey, let's, like, you know, bring out this more standard comp, or let's try like a Reaper comp, or, you know, like let's try something different, right? And that's, I think, so important, where if the enemy team is just countering what you're doing and they understand how to play against it and it's not working, you've got to throw something new at them. You know, we've seen teams go too crazy with that, like Boston, but you've got to throw something new at them.
Yeah, I think that was probably, even the illness aside, because you could definitely tell that they weren't playing quite as cohesively as what Florida or even Washington was the next day. And that can definitely, I think, be attributed to something like illness or lack of energy and focus. But you're right, not being able to switch up on the fly, you know, taking as long as it did just to think about switching their support line. I mean, as great as Hydration is, I definitely feel like he was being outplayed on the Mei at every corner. And even on Junkertown, when Blaze was putting his McCree up against Saya's Widow play, or Widowmaker, you know, I realized that Blaze probably doesn't have quite the same skill on the Widowmaker as what Saya player did. But I feel like the Outlaws have always had this, or there's this Bendis perception with them, that they always try to push these comps maybe further than they could. And it seems like, from a fan perspective, like they're trying to take this square peg and push it into a circle hole. I mean, can you give us any insight on what the decision-making factor is on whether to switch up comps, try something new, or through multiple games try and stick with the same strategy? Could that have something to do with not having enough prep time, or, you know, enough time as a team to prep multiple strategies?
I mean, you just can't put it on prep time. It's like the beginning of the season. They've had weeks and weeks to practice and refine, and like, this is the most prep time they're ever going to have for matches. So if it's prep time, then I mean, they're done, right? Like, it's not getting better than this. So it can't be prep time in my eyes. I just feel, I mean, for me, it's a big question mark, because the only player left on the team from when I was playing is Muma, like, in terms of starting. I mean, Rakus was playing a bit, but then we also saw Repel cycled in. So the only consistent starter from last year is Muma. And I felt like Muma's plays were pretty out there. Like, it did not seem like the team and Muma were playing well together. Like, the Mei's constantly catching Muma out. And not so often on the other side. Felt Muma, like, he just felt like he was going for really, really aggressive pins and solo kill plays that just weren't turning up anything at all. So from my perspective, the team really needs to focus on that synergy between the tank and the rest of the team line, especially if you're going to play Rein. I mean, Rein is the meta, but Rein is all about coordination. You know, he's a hero that's very, very one-dimensional, does a lot, you know, in that point-blank range, but essentially nothing outside of it. So you need to protect him. You need to enable the Rein. And it just felt like that connection wasn't there. I actually felt like Hydration, for what it's worth, Hydration seemed to play quite well to me. I mean, it had a lot of nice Mei walls, a lot of nice, mostly defensive plays, because the team was mostly on the back foot. So he wasn't really able to, you know, pick up those huge multi-kills with the freeze or anything. But usually that results from your team, you know, being dominant and winning team fights. And you're able to capitalize on that with Mei. And I felt like that's kind of what was missing. I mean, Hydration was just focused on defending the team. And you make a great point with Blaze on the McCree. I mean, Blaze's playing fine on McCree, but on a map like Junkertown first, I just wish they would run a different strategy, or like maybe a Reaper or something to try and TP into the Widow's face. But or some sort of different comp. I mean, Junkertown first, though, is a map where it's like, come on, like, where's the coaching there? Because you just have to play a Widow player on that map, in my opinion. I've always looked at Junkertown first, like, this is just a terrible map. Like, you have to play Widow. There's no other hero that deals with Widow. It's just, like, she's an actual metric, you know, 10 kilometers away from you and just taking free shots, and, like, you have to stop her or else she's inevitably going to take you out. And it felt like that just wasn't there for the team, you know, and they lost so much time on first. And really, at any point, an enemy team knows they can just bring out Widow, and the only counter that you're going to see from Houston is, like, this Russian comp. But if you compare that to someone like LA Valiant, where even with KSP on the lineup, they don't always go to Widow for the duels. Sometimes they were splitting off their Lucio and their D.Va for that, like, two-part rush on the flank to try and pressure the Widow and let the McCree focus on what he's good at. And it felt like that sort of thing was not there either for the Outlaws. Like, they weren't splitting effectively into, like, key groups that can each deal with, you know, one part of the enemy team. They were really just kind of playing this stagnant death ball style. So, I mean, I think there's some real improvement that we'll need to see from the Outlaws before they're winning any games.
Well, it was obviously their first outing. It was an unfortunate one at that. So for the Houston Outlaws, their fans, and for myself as well, let's hope that they can get together before this weekend in Washington. So last week we chose as the game of the week, the game that you had to check out, the Philadelphia Fusion versus the Washington Justice. And man, what a game that was. I mean, even just by the end of Nepal, we could tell that we were in for a hell of a match. What was the big standouts to you in this matchup between Philly and Washington?
Oh, for me, this was the Sado show. I mean, he played so well in the Rhine. This is a hero that a lot of people, you know, talk trash on him. A lot of people said, oh, he's only a Winston one trick. He can't play Rhine properly. You know, he's not. In my opinion, he came out on top of Roar in this series, a player who's known for his Reinhardt. So to me, Sado really looked great and really, like, that, if you had any question mark for the Philly Fusion, it was Sado. Like, can he, you know, play all the main tank slots? Like, how's that going to work? But he answered those questions easily. I mean, just looking really dominant on the Rhine, great defensive play, finding the room to be aggressive, find those big shatters, big pickoffs. Really, everyone on the Philly Fusion looked so strong in this match. Justice, you know, had their bright spots, had their moments, but this feels like a meta where, you know, there's like a couple spots on a couple maps where you can play Widow, but it's not consistent. So Corey, I mean, doing well on the McCree, but he's basically just matching Carpe on the McCree, and it's pretty rough to carry when, you know, your main team is getting dominated like that. Like, it felt like the supports and the supports and the tanks from the Philly Fusion were really where this match was won. And then on DPS, it was more of a trade, more even. But on DPS, there's not so much you can do to carry this meta. I mean, this is a great meta, I think, because it really requires the whole team to succeed in order to get those wins. Like, you can't just hard carry on Widow or hard carry on, like, one of the tanks. You know, really, everyone has to be playing well. D.Va is really powerful. She needs to be staying alive, but still getting a lot of value. And your support line can make a ton of space and do a ton of damage with the Ana Lucio. Very, very flexible support line. So I was really impressed as well with Alarm and Funny Astro. Both looking great on the support. Really making it work for Philly Fusion. I think they could be another top team again this year.
All right, well, it would definitely be cool to see them return to form. You know, Carpe last year had a little bit of a down year. I believe the Fusion ended up 10th place overall. So to see them sort of surge back up to the top, I think a lot of Philly fans will definitely be looking forward to that. As always, guys, you know, we value your opinions, and we want to know what you have to say. So let us know whether that's in the YouTube comments. Unfortunately, I do check them. Letting us know what you think on Twitter, Checkpoint XP, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also communicate directly with Jake at JakeOW. We'll be right back, guys, with a little bit of a fantasy draft that has its own little spin on it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the school's that game.
The only place where esports are
on
campus.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you, guys. Welcome back, and thanks for watching or listening if you happen to be downloading the podcast. We appreciate you hanging out with us today and doing something fun here for today's middle segment. We're actually going to do our own fantasy-style draft, but there is a catch here, and the catch is once a player has been chosen from a team, you can no longer choose anyone else from that team. So we'll have players from 12 different teams by the end of this, and to start off, we're going to have our producer and cameraman here, Rick, do a coin toss, decide who goes first. So, Jake, go ahead and call it heads or tails, and Rick just dropped it.
All right, I'm going to say tails never fails.
All right, he's going tails. What is it? It is tails.
So yes!
You get to go first.
All right, all right.
All right, all right.
I was thinking more about going.
We are going
second.
With the usual 2-2-2. Yeah, I mean, I'll go first if you don't
so
mind.
So are we doing? So I pick two. Do first. I pick two players or I pick just one? Right?
No. But we're doing the
oh, okay,
the 2-2-2 comp.
Course.
So two tanks, two supports.
Yeah,
two,
yeah, yeah. Sure.
Two
sure.
DPS.
All right. So my first pick is easy. Then it's Troy Hillman from the SF Shock.
All right, not bad. And oh man, that takes so many players off the board now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you didn't pick somebody from the Shock first, you didn't really come to play. So,
well, I didn't even have a chance to. All right, I'm gonna go the other way. Then I'm gonna go ahead and take the New York Excelsior off the board. And for my, I don't know if I want to do the main tank or the off tank. You know, I'm gonna go hot, but for the off tank position, man.
Starting with a strong off tank is a key to a foundation to a solid team, so I don't hate it.
I think so.
And you blocked
especially
me taking
the
mono.
I was
pricing
seen.
Mono very, very high, so.
All right, ball's in your court now.
Okay, I think I'm going to go with. Twilight from Titans. Twilight.
My man. Yeah. All right. Okay. Cool. So you got your tank line there.
No, he's a main support. We're flexible. He's not a tank.
Oh, I'm sorry. Twilight. No, you're right. I was thinking of Fissure. I think because I was looking at him. I've been
you
a little hard
Fissure.
On him the past few years, but I was looking at him. I was looking to complete my tank line here pretty early on. Mm. No, you know what? In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to take Dallas off the board. I'm going to go with Gamsu as my main tank.
Interesting. Well, that kind of blocks the pick I was thinking of going to next. I gotta think for just a minute now. I need some DPS is what I'm feeling.
Ooh, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna get a little. Yeah, I'm gonna take Sato. I'm taking another main tank.
Oh, no!
I'm taking out Philly Fusion.
I was going to take Carpe, man.
Yeah, I got to block all those strong players.
Great.
The key is always pick from the best teams. Like, you don't pick, like, a strong player from a weaker team at all in this system because you need to block the strong teams. So.
Yeah, no, you got to get the value. You get a good player, and you take all the other good
players
from that team.
I've got Sato, I've got Troy, and I've got Twilight. It's already looking pretty sick, but all right.
Oh, all right, man. Okay, boy, I am going to go the DPS route. I do want to get a strong player in my lineup here.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to go with one of my longtime favorites here, and that is going to be Sure4 as my first DPS off the Toronto Defiant.
All right. Sure4 is a solid pick.
See, I'm afraid to pick something even just in my mind before you say something because then you're just going to go ahead and somehow telepathically read what it is that I'm looking
at. You've discovered my strategy, of course, relying on my telepathy. hmm. All right, I think I could probably use some DPS, but do I really want to go that route just yet? This is where the picks get a little more complicated, I think, and you gotta think.
It is. Both DPS wise and support wise, because all the ones that immediately pop into my head have already been taken off the board.
Exactly. All right, so I'm gonna pick. I'm gonna pick Corey. Let's do it.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I wasn't relying on a Washington pick. That's fine. Good pick, though. Good pick. Definitely a good pick. All right. I feel like I need to get at least one really good support in here before everyone's potentially taken off the board. But where am I looking? The Gladiator, Shaz, and Big Goose. They're good, but I feel like you need them as a package deal if you're going to go. So who else are we going to be looking at here? All right. I think that for my first support, I am going to pick up off of the Soul Dynasty. I think I'm going to go with Toby.
All right. All right.
And hope you don't take my other support now.
Oh, you have to see. I'm thinking, where should I come next here? Ooh, I think I have a good draft here. Yeah, I think.
All right, I got my last two picks.
All right, I'm gonna pick up IDK for my main support off the Spark.
Okay, not a bad pick. Okay,
IDK is a god, man. God gamer.
Yep, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna finish out my support line, and I'm gonna take Dogman from the Atlanta Reign.
All right.
So do we both need one more DPS?
I need a DPS. I think that's it. All right. So let me just think what my options are. So the teams are still in the pool.
We got the Boston Uprising, the Chengdu Hunters, the Guangzhou Charge, the Houston Outlaws, the London Spitfire, both LA teams, Florida Mayhem, the Paris Eternal, and the Shanghai Dragons.
All right, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to, you know what? This is maybe a dark horse pick. Maybe people disagree, but I'm going to take KSF from the Valiant. I feel like KSF.
No! No!
I feel like KSF is underrated. Oh. I think this is his season to come into true form, finally able to play full-time flex DPS. That's what he's best at, and I want him on my team. Welcome aboard, KSF.
That was my pick. Not even just my team. That was my pick, man.
You got sniped, can I say?
Oh, now what am I looking at? All right, who do we got here? Because you're right. This last one needs to be a good flex DPS. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. It's slim pickings now, too, I feel.
Well, there's good players. Yeah, there's good players. Yeah.
There are. No, for sure. Oh.
I'm feeling pretty good about my team.
Taking a look. You know what? Okay.
Pretty good.
You know, based on their performance, their performance this past week, I'm actually going to go ahead and pluck one from the Florida Mayhem. I'm going to go with Yaki.
All right, Yaki. Yaki was solid, for sure. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, there we go. Those are the ones that we got here. So let's see how we can just recall them really quick from memory. So on my team, I'm looking at Surefour and Yaki as my DPS, Toby and Dogman as my support, and my tank line is Gamsu and Hotba. And we also need team names here, too. So since we I'm located here in our studio in Detroit, we are going to be the Detroit Usual Suspects.
Dang, you thought that up. Dude, that's not fair. I didn't know we had team names. Yeah, I'm gonna get a boring team name, but my team is composed. We got Sato and Choi. That's my tank line, my frontliners. Behind them, we've got Corey, KSF, dealing the damage, bringing that flexibility. And then in the back line, keeping everybody up, we've got Twilight and IDK. Can't think of a better roster here. I'm really feeling confident in my team.
I'm still so upset about KSF.
And I may be living in LA, but I get to role play as the San Diego team because that's where I'm from. So
okay.
I'm going to say we are the San Diego... What's a... You know, it's like...
What about the San Diego Snipers since you took my pick?
San Diego Snipers. I like it. I like it. But it's too... It's like... Well, I guess it's fine, right? Because the only thing that's funny is the Outlaws are like the sharpshooters in China, but... We don't need to talk about that. So yeah, the San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
The San Diego Snipers.
All right. Well, to decide whose team win, who has the better draft here, we're actually going to put that out to you guys on social media. So make sure you head on over to Checkpoint XP on Twitter and look for the poll. Let us know whose lineup you think would come out on top. Coming up here in just a moment, we're going to give you our match of the week and talk about what you should be watching this weekend at the Washington Homestand. That was fun.
Yeah, that was highly enjoyable.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Other Identity is the best podcast about comic books for fans and new readers alike. Put together by a group of lifelong comic geeks, hear comic book history, current comic news, and a general look at the industry. In addition to all the latest in comic talks, the show also features creator interviews, listener responses, and allows you to experience all the joys of a Wednesday afternoon at the comic shop from the comfort of your own headphones. Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Students are playing more video games than ever, and that's not a bad thing anymore. With Checkpoint XP on campus, you can peek into the world of college esports and gaming. We talk to personalities in the space like Phasix, who retired from the Overwatch League to join a college team, or thought leaders like James O'Hagan of the Academy of Esports, who's leading the charge on blending education and video games. It's not all black holes and floss dances. Games can lead to college scholarships, and we can tell you where on Checkpoint XP on campus.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, as always, for joining us and for sticking through us here through the whole show into the preview for this weekend. Now, just like last week, we have a little bit of a truncated schedule here because of the matches in China that were canceled, but have been rescheduled for week 6 and 7 of the season. That is going to be a weekend just chock full of Overwatch. But of course, today we're going to get down into what to expect this week, and we're going to start with our match of the week. So right off the top of the day, Saturday, the first match coming up, the Philadelphia Fusion versus the New York Excelsior. I think without a doubt, looking at what's going down this weekend, at the way that the two of them performed thus far, this is the match to watch. Jake, what should we expect from these two teams?
Well, I mean, you always hope for a little more lead up on the match of the week, but in this case, I don't think we're going to get it, but that just means we get to start off with a bang. So I mean, these are the two top dogs, I would say, coming into this weekend of matches. I believe the only two teams that are undefeated coming in, besides, of course, the Defiant, who we haven't seen play yet. So honorable mention to Fusion Defiant. I think that'll be exciting as well. But I think Fusion and New York, it's the New York-Philly game. It's two undefeated teams, two teams that are both vying for the title. Really are, you know, I would expect to see both these teams in playoffs. And, you know, for me, that's what makes it so exciting. You get to see the best of the best clash live in Washington. So Fusion versus New York Excelsior, I think that'll be the match of the week to watch. I think that's just star-studded on both sides. And yeah, I can't personally wait to see that game.
Yeah, no, I think you basically just hit everything that that anyone needs to know about that match. And it's great that it's going to be starting us off as well. Of course, we do have other matches going on that weekend as well. Outlaws versus the Uprising. sanitizing.
Oh, no.
See who, at least at the moment, is the bottom of the bottom. Yeah, unfortunately. I hate to say it. We have the Justice versus the Eternal. On Sunday, the Outlaws are going up against Nixle. Fusion versus the Defiant. And Justice versus Spitfire. And actually, besides the match of the week, I think the two that I'm most looking forward to, and the Defiant have played one match so far. They did go up against the Eternal. Is I'm actually looking forward to that Fusion versus Defiant match. I feel like the Defiant is, it's one of those rosters that is absolutely star-studded from top to bottom. There's a lot of great names in there and a lot of, I think, you know, fun people to watch. And I'm hoping that they come together well and are a cohesive team. Because given their branding and their close proximity to where I am, they're the closest thing I'm going to have to a home team. But I think the other fun match to look forward to as well is Justice versus the Spitfire. You know, Justice obviously gave us a great showing this past week, and Spitfire is one of those rookie rosters that I think has a lot of potential and a lot of promise there. What do you think, Jake? I think between those two, Justice and the Spitfire and the Fusion and Defiant, which of those two matches do you expect to see a better showing out of?
Honestly, I think both those could be really great. I do think the Justice versus Spitfire is a little bit more closely matched. I do expect to see the Fusion come away pretty dominantly over the Defiant, but, you know, who knows? The Defiant, maybe they could reset expectations there. I think a lot of people were doubting them against the Eternal as well, and they certainly proved us wrong. So I think that you're totally right. It's a very interesting, exciting team to watch. Anything's possible, but of course the Fusion just looks so good in their matches. I guess we'll know more maybe coming out of the Nixle match. You know, whether to expect the Fusion to be as dominant. But I think Justice versus Spitfire is going to be really, really interesting. Both teams with a lot to prove. Both teams with, you know, ups and downs so far in their record, even this early in the season. So I think that match will be really exciting. Spitfire has shown a lot of promise in what they do, but just not a lot of variance in actually executing new and different strategies. Whereas the Justice, I think, have been a little more up and down with, like, just that exact with the comp that they're playing. So I think the match could be volatile, and I think there's going to be a lot of preparation for both teams in terms of fixing their mistakes, building on their strengths going into this match. So I could really expect that to be a really interesting one where both teams show a new side of themselves.
I also think that the Washington Justice, too, obviously they're going to be at their hometown with their homestand. I'm expecting a lot out of them. They really seem to feed off the crowd in Philadelphia last weekend, just all the boos and the hate. So, you know, seeing Corey and Stratus and how sort of they play into that home crowd, I think is going to be really exciting to see, guys. That's all the time that we have for today. Once again, make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us personally at Jake OW on Twitter, as well as Jake_OW at Twitch, and you can find me, Robbie_Landis CP. Thank you guys so much for joining with us tonight, and remember to always stay on that payload.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.